What is up, Dolphin fans? At you again with another Dolphin Collective powered by BetUS. Go check them out, BetUS. Use the promo code YouTube150 and you get 150% on your first deposit and 125% on your next two, up to $2,000. Also, don't forget, if you would like, hit that join button next to the subscribe button to become a member. You get crazy good perks like custom emojis, monthly membership messages, name in the outro, and access to the members only live chats. And one last thing, we do have a podcast. We are out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you can find your podcasts.
isn't this a podcast, or is podcast audio only?
No.
I guess you can call this a podcast.
Podcast, nope. They're visual podcasts and they're audio podcasts. Good podcasts have visual and audio podcasts. Mm. Every podcast these gentlemen have here. Now, you put your podcast on every platform. I have under the understanding that YouTube is the most profitable. So why would you not make it a visual podcast and allow people to enjoy a podcast wherever they see fit? We're all beautiful people. We have beautiful faces. And
not tired.
And it would be nice if the people like to see us. Oh, TD, don't run away.
This is more appropriate. Wow.
Wow. Good one, TD. You out here winning. You out here tricked a woman to marry you, and you know.
Hey, yeah. Hey, you better know it. I ain't ashamed of it either, Omar.
I go to bed by myself and with a 4-year-old.
Omar.
Hey, I saw your birthday pictures, Omar.
TD and I are friends on Facebook, and to quote the great Harvey Green, TD outkicked his coverage.
Yes.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Speaking of family and your little girl, did you do anything for your birthday with your daughter? Because your birthday was recently.
Yeah, the birthday did not include daughter visitation. So I woke up Friday with a birthday cake. We have birthday cake for breakfast.
Nice.
What kind of cake? Balloon, huh? Ice cream cake. Carvel, you know, regular.
The crunchies, everything.
Well, yeah, regular cake. Okay.
Yeah, not that kind of cake. No.
That would be good. Carvel would be good.
I love Carvel. And then I had a child-free weekend of escavanting and going about town and doing fun things. But I again slept in bed by myself, TD.
It's all good, Omar. Yeah.
It's all good, man. I'm working on myself.
There you go. You can't love anyone else if you don't love yourself, you know?
I've been working on that one, yeah. You need to love yourself before you can get somebody to give you the love that you deserve.
Exactly. Yes. We already got two members in here. Ohio John, shout out to you.
Ohio!
Love and Ohio John.
Debo Self-Made Miller.
Debo.
Shout out to you as well. We got a little something here from BetUS. They're already talking about week one.
Oh,
so they want to know, you know, what your thought process is on Devon Achane versus the Colts in week one, even though we don't even know what the Colts defense is going to look like in week one, nor the offensive line, which we will talk about today.
Okay.
So
Devon will be healthy training camp because there's been one training camp where he wasn't healthy.
Yeah. You gonna jinx him already, Omar?
He hurt.
He's not hurt. I'm just a realist. I've actually seen him. He looks a smidgen bigger.
Now Jalen Wright looks really good from what I'm seeing.
Who?
Jalen Wright.
He looked good last year physically. If you're talking about he's cut, I mean that's a big dude.
Yeah.
The big dude last year too. He was the big dude last year. You don't be shaking your head, Normie. He's a big dude.
I disagree. And I remember seeing him as a rookie, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't look like an NFL body yet. No disrespect to him, because I certainly don't have an NFL body right now.
He's wrong. Sorry.
Never happened. What?
He ain't even Chris Brooks status built-wise. Let's do this.
Chris Brooks is a little bit bigger, yes, but Jalen Wright has a very thick body. Sorry.
Are you sitting here telling me that Jalen Brooks is a power back, thick body? No.
Who's Jalen Brooks?
Jalen Wright.
Jalen Wright or Chris Brooks? By the way, the new Colts defensive coordinator is Luana Rumo, in case you guys were not familiar with that.
Well, if we're going to talk about running game, we got. I think we're going to be talking a lot about offensive line today. I got a list here. Well, you know,
surprise, surprise.
Do you think the offensive line was built properly? And I had a conversation with somebody on Twitter because, of course, I talked about, you know, they showed what the Bears offensive line will look like. And I'm like, wow, interesting how you know, build the offensive line around your second year quarterback. And someone was like, you're going to tell me they didn't do that. And my biggest thing is there's a difference between just building an offensive line and doing it right, because you could go out and get anybody's and put them in front. It's about doing it right. Do you think they're finally doing it right, Omar? I'll start with you.
Well, I got to go first on this one.
We'll go this way.
Because you're special, and it was your birthday last week.
Yeah, okay. Man. A year wisdom at it.
Do I think that they built it right? No. Here's why I say that. Because the most important piece of your offensive line is your left tackle. They have an unproven commodity at left tackle. Now, mind you, if they went and got at that left tackle in the first or second round of this year's draft, it would have still been an unproven commodity at left tackle. I like the fact that Patrick Paul spent a year practicing as the starter, going up against starters, working in the starters. And then I also like the fact that he got, I think, up to 300 snaps in real games, not all of it at left tackle, but some experience at right tackle. Was it all good? No. Was it respectable, something to build off? Absolutely. But there leaves room for error. And let's say, you better knock on wood, Dougley. Let's say an injury happens to Patrick Paul in training camp. What do you do now? Who is your backup left tackle?
TD.
And you don't have one. The quality of your backups, I mean, and I say this and I will say it to the mountaintop, screaming from the mountaintop, Liam Eikenberg is your sixth offensive lineman. How many years?
Again with that, my God, again with that?
How many years have we not seen this dog? I can't go. I've been here since 2007, and I can't go a season where you didn't lose an offensive lineman for at least half the season.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Now, tell me when it's ever happened, Mr. Historian. Got this guy down here.
He's got to put his glasses on first.
It's never not happened. I have a contact on
Yeah. Don't count.
So I'm telling you, Liam Eikenberg is going to be starting unless you start add some other pieces.
He's not starting at left tackle if there's an injury there. That's why they signed Larry Borm. Now, whether that was the right
– sucked at left tackle.
Correct. Whether that's the right – yeah, correct. That's the bigger decision. So, to me, I'm like – I have massive, massive queasiness about this offensive line because it could be decent except James Daniels coming off an Achilles injury. Patrick Paul is unproven. Austin Jackson's coming off a knee procedure. Who else am I leaving out?
Jonah unproven.
And Jonah, you have to have high hopes for your second round pick.
Okay.
But that's an awful lot of question marks for an offensive line. And at best, if it can be average, that would be a massive win for the Dolphins.
TD.
Same poop, different restroom.
Oh God, I'm gonna use that.
I'm just saying, this is classic Miami Dolphins on rinse and repeat, just with new people. So, and y'all really have said it. That's the reality. That's our problem. We go into the season with bad probabilities.
Yeah.
Every season. You just talked about Austin Jackson coming off of an injury. And then coming off of an injury, how good is he going to be coming off of it? You know? So forget the fact of if he doesn't get hurt again, how effective will he be? Because remember his rookie year when he got hurt, it took time to work back up to where he was because he was making progress before he did. Then at the right tackle, you do the same thing. You get a fresh off injury. Good player. But fresh off injury, and we got to calculate how good are some players fresh off of injury. Some ball out, but some of them are impacted long term from it or could take a full season to work themselves back in. The only thing that I feel confident about and comfortable about in this whole O-line is the center. I like what he produced last year. Let's continue with that. I have no issue with it. Left guard, I don't even know. Let's find out in camp. Right? And left tackle, yeah, there's Patrick Paul, there are signs that you could build upon, but come on, he's replacing Look who's he replacing. The odds of even coming close to that are slim to none. So, no, they didn't build it correctly. And if you want to play that game, you maybe it'll take 2 or 3 years building this same unit to look, that's time you don't have. And I've been really pondering this. The odds of Tyreek being here next year, the odds of Bradley Chubb being here next year. You just basically admitted this whole rebuild thing that we did a few years back has officially failed, and now we're about to retool and try to, like, put us in a new realm where it's the old is out and in with the new. No, they didn't build it right.
Okay. One, I like a lot that you said, but I don't necessarily agree with certain elements and points. You're 100% right. This is Tyreek will probably not be here unless he restructures his contract. Bradley Chubb will probably not be here unless he restructures his contract. But this is not an admission that this is all failed. I think there are so many things that can go right and favorable in the Dolphins world that would allow them to get to 10 wins. 10 wins is my bar. I know that's just not good enough for everybody that's out there, but that's a good enough team to get you into the playoffs. You never know what will happen. I expect you to host a home game? No, I don't, because they're not even in the Buffalo Bills stratosphere unless Josh Allen, your daddy, gets hurt. But they can have a good season. You did not have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, two borderline elite players, two players who potentially have the ability to be $100 million players. They didn't have them last year. They'll have them now this year. You didn't have a respectable offensive line. Like, let's hope this one's respectable. I don't know, but hope and pray. And you didn't have Tua for 6.5 games, and you still were decent. You still lost to Indianapolis and Arizona and Buffalo in the last minutes of that game. You win those three games. You are an 11-win team, which is ridiculous to me, but it's possible. It is possible.
Well, let me respond to that, Omar. First of all, who cares about good when it gets you bounced every year? We've been good every year if you want to put it on 10 wins. We've been good for the most part, though. We've gotten in the playoffs 2 of the years, right?
And limped into them both years.
But you get bounced. And here's my point that I'm making. When you got Tyreek, when you got Connor Williams, when you got Armstead, when you got Ramsey, when you got Chubb, and a few others that I'm probably not even mentioning, when you still had Xavier Howard, when you had Christian Wilkins, Javon Holland, when you had a Robert Hunt, when you had all of these guys on this roster, what did we say in 3 years we would have accomplished X? What is that thing? We would have at least have accomplished this.
We were Super Bowl contenders, and we weren't Super Bowl contenders because they limped into the playoffs with virtually nobody on defense
and in 2023. And lost every time, regardless of the injuries and stuff.
But if they had, let's just say for poops and giggles, or what'd you call it, poop?
You're using my nickname in vain again?
Jeez. Yeah. let's just say for poops and giggles that they beat Tennessee. Let's just say.
Oh, my gosh. Are you really doing this?
Let's just say they beat Tennessee, you know, in a game that they actually had sealed up. And don't squander it. They would have been the AFC East champions. Buffalo, they would have hosted a home game.
Buffalo in the first round.
Let's just say, okay. Hold on. Let's just piggyback on that and just say they don't lose Xavier Howard. They don't lose Jerome Baker. They don't lose Bradley Chubb. They don't lose
Connor Williams, Isaiah Wynn.
Oh, my gosh.
Who else did we lose?
Connor Williams, Isaiah Wynn.
No. I'm just saying defense because, let's
Javon
just say.
Javon Holland got hurt.
Javon Holland is not hurt. And let's just say Jalen Waddle isn't on one leg. Really, and Tyreek isn't on one leg. And Raheem isn't on one leg. Let's just say that. Okay. The Lions were the hottest team in the NFL last year, just like the Dolphins were the hottest team in the NFL in 2013. They fizzled out at the end of the season. Go ahead.
Well, what did you saw that that game, there was also, the defense got smoked, and there was a massive mismatch at quarterback in that game last year. Okay, Jared Goff didn't lose that game, but he got badly outplayed by Jaden Daniels, where the offense couldn't keep up. So,
well, didn't he throw like three interceptions in that game?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. And it wasn't all injuries. That's too easy a crutch to use every time. Because even when the Dolphins didn't have injuries,
they lost games early in the season.
Invariably, they're playing a good team, they lose. I will say the rebuild hasn't been a complete failure because the Dolphins were relevant
for is that the bar now? Is that the bar? Hey, we're relevant, so that's success.
How many teams are Super Bowl contenders right now? Name them.
10.
Name them.
Maybe more now.
Name them.
Super Bowl contenders?
Yeah.
Super Bowl
contenders. There's some really good teams now.
Name them.
AFC, Buffalo, Baltimore.
Kansas City, Philly, Buffalo, Baltimore. Who else?
Bengals.
No.
They didn't even make
it. Yeah, but you can say canceled. That this is still a contending team. They fired the
defensive coordinator.
Canceled. This is still a contending team, though, Omar.
Rams.
The Lions.
Lions, yes.
With the Rams.
The Lions.
Lions. Okay, I'll accept the Lions. So we're at six.
Omar, they took the Eagles to the end of the game with, like, a defense that had nothing but rookies.
But generous, I'll team? Give it to you. Seven. We're at seven.
Wow. See, but you're not going to qualify a lot of these teams that could go to distance.
Everybody could go to distance if they get lucky from an injury standpoint and get hot at the right
time. Not Miami. See, this is the big conundrum.
How is
the big conundrum. Y'all think that if we don't have injuries, then we're going to be that team. Listen, they're fooling you. Please give us 1 year of no injuries so people can learn what we actually have.
Okay.
Please.
That's all I beg.
That's all I ask for. But you know what, Omar?
It doesn't have to be no injuries. It's just you can't lose your entire defense in the final month of the year.
But well, in a lot of cases, the defense still played well, though. This is what's crazy to me.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
In the playoff game, Doug, you're making a face. The defense was not the issue in the playoff game at Kansas City in the freezer bowl.
They couldn't throw the ball.
Because it was in a freezer bowl. It was the
The other team played, too. Like, why do we ignore that?
Yeah, the other team played. But they also
have played there before and that have
– They're literally – in that game, when you watch the film, which somebody claims I don't watch, a reason, I'll say your name. You could bring all the shots you want. I'm here. When you watch that Kansas City
game, Omar, you're gonna spend 3 seconds dignifying what he said because he was taking shots at everybody, myself included.
So. What you do? You took yourself off the chat, TD? What's going on?
I don't involve myself with any drama in the Miami Dolphins community.
Listen, hey, difference between me. You want to take a shot at me? I'm going to respond. But listen, when you watch that Kansas City game and you break it down, both teams could only throw the ball going left to right. Both teams.
Yeah, because
Kansas City made three critical plays in that game that helped them put up points. Kelce made a catch. Mahomes made a scramble. And Mahomes made a throw. Neither team could kick the ball in the direction. That not to say that they're in the same neighborhood because they're not, but if you put that game in a dome situation, and I don't even think Miami had talent there because they really didn't have any offensive players. Raheem wasn't right. I said early in the week, I watched practice. You were there, and I said there's no way that Jalen Waddle should be playing in that game, and he did.
Yet he played. And yet he played.
You watched him practice, Poupard. Did you think he was healthy?
He wasn't. As players would tell you, nobody's healthy at that time of year. Nobody's 100% at that time of year.
All right, I'll let it ride.
And it's just, to me, it's just, yes, injuries have been a factor without question. It's just too easy to say, eliminate the injuries and everything is great.
Exactly. Like, y'all keep saying that. And all I'm saying is this, and this is all I've been saying. I have a true belief in the NFL that when everybody's healthy on both teams, when both teams got a good O-line, when both teams got a good defense, when both teams, everything is clicking, It's going to come down to one position, but I ain't gonna talk about it because I said I ain't gonna talk about it. I said I ain't gonna mention certain people.
No. It's gonna come down to quarterback execution, and you need your quarterback to deliver those big moments.
And Omar, head to head in situations like that, I'll pick probably 15 quarterbacks over mine. That's the problem.
TD, how many times has it really happened where both teams during a game itself are completely even across the board?
I mean, it's rare, but guess what? That's what you're going to have to go up against in the NFL, especially when you get to the playoffs. You're going to get the best of the best at the end of the day. And even if you don't have the best of the best, say it's a bad O-line from your opponent, but the quarterback makes up for it with their durability, I mean, with their improvisational skills or whatever it may be. There are players out here making up for team flaws, and we just ignore that. We just say, well, Miami Dolphins just got to be good in every facet so that nobody has to make up for anybody's flaws. And that's where we are. But we're playing a game where the odds do not work out in our favor because something will go wrong, whether it's the O-line getting hurt, the DBs getting hurt, defensive line. It's inevitable at this point. Why should we ever hope in going into any season from this point forward? Well, if everybody could just stay healthy, in what world?
But the difference is in 2023, because you named about 10 players that were pushing us into a direction of being, you know, Super Bowl contenders, pushing us. Where are we going to end up? You named about 10 players, and all 10 of those players were injured by the midseason of 2023.
Not all, but
I would say 8 out of the 10. But my point is, there's a difference between saying we need the entire team to be healthy versus we need that entire team not to be hurt. Like going into leaving the Jets game, we lost 2 big players because of their crappy turf. Leaving the Titans game, we lost another 3 players. Like, and then you look at the Baltimore Ravens game, we limped into that game. Then we lose Bradley Chubb because he shouldn't have been on the field at that point. Going into the Bills game, we had Justin Houston as a pass rusher. Like it was, and then we go into the playoffs and we have nobody. Like, it's not like, oh, I wish, you know, we don't need everyone healthy. We just not need everyone injured. 2023.
How many pass rushers did they sign that for that game?
We had, and the part is when we went to the Bills game. Remember, we had 2 more pass rushers get hurt in the Bills game that were backups to the third stringers got hurt. So when we went into the Kansas City Chiefs game, we had Justin Houston, we had JPP, we had
Bruce Irvin.
It was horrible.
No, we didn't have JPP. He had gotten cut.
Correct, Bruce Irvin.
He gotten cut.
Bruce Irvin, thank you.
Signed a guy who was on the
He was on the couch. He was on the couch. I remember.
Everybody was on the couch.
Three 4-year-olds from the couch. But I think you guys are blinded by the simple fact that even if we had all of our players, it would have come down to who can the quarterback play in these games, in these big games.
I honestly think if the offensive line wasn't as decimated in that Chiefs game, we would have ran the ball better than we did. And I don't think they would have put it into his hands. That's the thing, right? I'm not going to sit here and say to you, I need Tua to be this. I need Tua to put the team on his back. I don't need that. It's like going back to 2021, I think it was, against Tennessee. Why are you forcing Tua, who you know doesn't have a strong arm and is still dealing with the hip injury, not able to drive the ball, throwing it 40 times in Tennessee when you have the opposite team with Ryan Tannehill throwing it like 15, 16 times and they're running with Derrick Henry?
It wasn't Derrick Henry. It was his backup. Derrick Henry was hurting that game.
Even worse, bad game plan. And the fact that Mike Gesicki comes out and says it was a bad game plan and then was asked, was there adjustments at halftime? No. You can't go into these games thinking, Tua, you need to – no, you got to prepare as if – Tua's going to help you convert these 3rd-and-4s, these 3rd-and-8s with rollout plays, quick this, that. If anyone in their right mind says, I need Tua to go out there and win me this game, he'll do it 3 out of 10 times. But if you need him to do it 8 out of 10, you're going to lose. So you have to prepare for that, and they weren't.
Can I make another point? Because we go back to 2023. Can we all agree that that was by far the Dolphins' best roster in what? 10 100%. Years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, by far. And that was a team where, if they hadn't gotten, like, they did get crushed by injuries down the stretch.
Could they have been a title contender? I don't know. I don't know.
But the closest they've been. They've lost a crap load of good players from that team.
To this point. I would agree with that.
So how do we overcome the inevitable injuries? Because somebody, even this year, I don't know which unit is going to be, but some unit is going to be impacted. How do we overcome it then? Because we keep on having this conversation going in circles, and it comes down to one thing, but we keep on ignoring it. How do we overcome it?
That's where the question, the question comes in of, did we build it properly? In my opinion, you overcome it by depth. You have to be able to build.
We got that.
No, we don't. No. We haven't had it in forever.
And you'll have less next year.
I don't worry about next year. Next year.
But you're basically going. Oh, you're already writing the certificate of what's going to happen this year. You don't have the depth. It's almost inevitable. People are going to get hurt.
I wrote a column in the Miami Herald that's coming out. It's online today. Just about reasonable expectations for the offense. And I'm not even talking to you about like monumental expectations, things that are like, oh, I need Devon Achane to rush for 1500 yards. No, just get to 1000. Like, just get to 1000. Just be a 1500 yard producer. You're 1 yard shy last year. If you just do the reasonable, Tua, stay healthy for 17 games. Please. And I said, lead the league in something else. You've already led the league in three different categories. Lead the league in touchdowns this year.
Please.
If these reasonable things happen, they're winning double-digit games. Now,
how can you say reasonable?
They're reasonable.
For him to lead the league in touchdowns? It's reasonable?
He's led the league in just about everything else but touchdowns.
Why do you think that is, Omar? Why you think that is? It's easy to lead the league in yards when it's mostly yak. All of those stats, but touchdowns.
We're not doing that, TD.
You're saying it's reasonable to lead the league in touchdowns.
I'm talking about every player, whether it's the Jonnu Smith. Yeah, you had a record-setting season statistically. For the Dolphins, for the tight end position. But you didn't even contribute the first month of the year because you didn't know the playbook. Like, it just – you can do that again now that you have 17 games. All you got to do is stay healthy. The offensive line, you know, we're not asking them to be the most dominant unit in the world. Hell, compared to last year, just be respectable. Mm-hmm. Just be decent. Just be able to run the ball and help Devon Achane get 4 yards a carry. Just be able to protect your quarterback so you're not playing hot potato with the ball. Like, these are reasonable things. And that's not even looking at the defense. You just do those things on offense. Tua can get you to 10 wins. Now, what you do with it from there, that's on coaching. That's on depth. That's on a lot of other things, but that comes down to building your team right. You know what happens to these teams in the playoffs and in December, and everybody keeps ignoring this, and in these weather games, they run the damn ball. They run the damn ball. You can never run the ball in December, and then you wonder why you always fizzle out, because that's when the physical teams, they step up, and you have wilted every single time.
Do you know why Tua didn't have that many touchdowns in 2023? Look at Raheem Mostert. He got the ball in the red zone, and that's where the touchdowns went. Raheem Mostert had two games over 100 rushing yards, but he led the league in rushing touchdowns. And in 2023, actually, Kansas City and Cincinnati were the top two teams in yak. It wasn't the Miami Dolphins.
I didn't say we were the top team, but we were top 10 at the least.
You said led the league in yak with those words.
Top five. Stop the cap. Don't say the run game is why he didn't lead the league in touchdowns. Yeah, we ran a lot of touchdowns, but Tua is not this touchdown threat like he throwing touchdowns. I mean, we got guys throwing 50 touchdowns in a season. His max was 29 in a fully healthy season. And when he's not healthy, the man will put up 11, 16, and 19. Even if he would, you would factor that out, it wouldn't be over 30. So come on, man. 4,600 yards and 29 touchdowns. He's not the touchdown machine guy. He's the guy that's going to do his job, get the ball in these receivers' hands, let them make plays. And another reason why we can't run the ball late in the season as well is because we are not a passing threat. But I think that the league has figured it out. Don't worry about the boundary and don't worry about the deep. Just play the middle in the intermediate and attack the run. And make Tua kill us outside or over the top.
Check that.
It's that simple. And Kenny, does he? That's it. When you watch the film on the good teams at the end of the season.
We heard, but I don't know who you heard from. But
I see what you did there, Omar.
But that's what the teams do. They already have the game plan. Load the box in the middle of the field, close up the passing lanes, and make him be a great quarterback. And if he can, he beat us. If he can't, what happens is what's been happening.
It helped you if he had a running game to create a little balance and give them something to worry about.
If but you lower the box with eight in the box and your running game struggles, you can't say, "Oh, well, the running game didn't do anything."
No, if they load the box, there is nobody who loaded the box with eight last year.
That's not true. Well, you don't watch film. Whoever said that,
who loaded the box with eight?
Omar, almost every team in the league. Almost every team in the league been loading the box. They bring the safety shallow. I remember when we first started this offense, you'll have safeties about 20 yards deep. Now they hover in that 13 to 15 range. They playing around, they moving. That's what I mean when I say loading the box, because they're also a run threat. That's what's been happening to Miami. They just smother the middle.
So who's leaving Waddle and Tyreek one-on-one with no safety over the top? Name the team.
No, the safety is over the top. A lot of teams are a lot of teams, they break out in the quarters when they see that it's a pass play. You'll see the four of them backing up. But
they got to start the game in quarters. If you before the snapper, you were in quarters package, I'm running it.
No, they're not before the snap. That's the point. A lot of them are disguising it. And this is what our quarterback can't read, the disguise coverage.
Can I jump in here for a second? Because we're like focusing on the offense like crazy. And I'm with Omar that it probably doesn't require 17 million different things happening for the offense to be productive and have a lot of success. But the way it's looking on defense right now, it's going to have to be carrying a crap load of the load. Because right now there are question marks up the wazoo on that defense. And I've seen some comments on social media, Dolphins could have one of the best front seven on defense. And I'm like, why? Because all of a sudden it's automatic that Kenneth Grant's going to be an all-pro as a rookie. We don't know that. Who else do they have on the front line? It's Zach Sealer, Benito Jones, Kenneth Grant.
Zach Sealer.
And Jordan, I mentioned Zach Sealer. And Jordan Phillips.
Zach Sealer.
Yeah. Phillips and Chubb coming back exactly. Like all pros. That's what they believe.
And then in the background, the linebackers are fine. Jordan Brooks and Tyrell Dotson, they're fine. Let's not pretend they're Bobby Wagner and Roquan Smith either. And then the back end, the secondary right now, yikes.
I will say this. I have been able to put my eyes on Iffy and Ashton Davis, seen him up close and personal. Ashton Davis is the size of a linebacker. I probably have never seen a bigger safety. In person, and Iffy looks like a praying mantis, all arms and legs. Now, if he can run like they say, run 4.3, high four, low 4.4s, they got something to work with. Now, does that mean that they have? I mean, honestly, it can't get any worse than it was last year. Like
at safety, but at cornerback, it can get worse.
Oh yeah. That's a mystery that I'm still waiting for Chris Greer to address.
But the defense is not going to be Bengals bad from last year.
Just to push on what TD said about not seeing, constantly be in the box. Going off the stats, not true. Because you have Jalen Hurts saw one high safety 60% of the time. Josh Allen, 60% of the time. Lamar, 59. Tua's not even top 32 when it comes to one.
This is called disguise coverage, Doug. You start out in one and you move to the other. Not what you saw.
The stat is going to be able to tell the difference between one and the other, but I'm telling you.
That is what they play once the ball is snapped.
Too high safety?
That's the point. Two high safeties again. When you got a guy floating in a box around the 12 yards off the line of scrimmage, they're gonna consider that too high because it's still at the safety position. But when that ball snaps and that guy comes up into the box, I mean, okay, you could go off the pre-snap stats.
And what the actual coverage is two different things. And this is going off of what the actual coverage is.
The film says what it is. When I sit there on my channel and I do film study, I say, okay, we got seven in the box and look at this safety creeping downhill. They hike the ball, the safety's coming. On what you're looking at, it's too high. But the safety came. That's all I'm saying, Doug. When you watch,
is what you're saying. They only go off of pre-snap.
It has, yes, of course. You're not going to go off of what happens after the snap. Anything can happen. Yes,
because that's what the formation is. You're not going to go off of the disguised formation.
Doug, is formation pre-snap or post-snap?
What it actually is? What the
No. What before snap, when the quarterback identifies, because a lot of the time
that could be disguised defense.
The stats aren't
going off of what's disguised. The stats are going off of what the defense is.
Doug, this is another reason why you can't even go off of that. A lot of times, say it is disguised and it's too high, but we got one that's coming. Tua's gonna check it to a run. That's what McDaniels has told him to do. When you have the light box, you check it to the run. So that's why you always go pre-snap with their end. Because that determines what the quarterback's going to do anyway.
All right. We'll just leave pre-snap, it at that.
No. That's how Houston got them. You can't go by what's on the pre-snap.
I get that. But when you don't have a quarterback that can read it post-snap, what you want
to
do?
God. Tua is one of the best quarterbacks when it comes to dissecting what happens on the field post-snap.
Pre-snap, not post-snap. He already knows what he's going to do.
Come on. I'm not going to do this.
Are you kidding me, Omar?
I am not
going to. Yes, you are.
Nope.
Not gonna do it. Omar.
I'm staying out of it.
Daniel, you're too good. Hold on, Alan, you think he's a great processor post-snap?
I am not going to do it. Jedrick Willis, what is our opinion on the Dolphins potentially exploring the options of Jedrick Willis coming to Miami? I've always had his name circled because I don't know what the injury is that has kept him from signing. He's obviously one of those veterans who plans to skip OTAs for whatever reason it is. I think it's a home run if they sign him to a reasonable $4 million a year contract. Maybe that's not what he's asked for. Maybe that's not what he wants. There's a reason that the Cleveland Browns are moving on. I can never remember who was the offensive lineman that Brian Flores wanted.
Wirfs.
Are y'all sure it was Wirfs?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you the four offensive tackles who were selected before Austin Jackson in the 2020 draft. It was Andrew Thomas, who went fourth overall to the Giants. It was Jedrick Wills, who went ninth to Cleveland, I believe. Mekhi Becton went 10 to the Jets.
It was not Becton.
And it was Tristan Wirfs.
I think it was Wirfs and
Tampa Bay jumped over
Miami.
Yes, to get.
Now, I don't think they would have went. Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, but remember, Flores wanted Love at that pick, didn't he?
No, he wanted Love at 18. I don't know what the right.
Austin Jackson was picked where?
18.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that pick number five, he wanted to tackle, didn't he?
There was one that Flores wanted to select at five. And then take Love at 18.
Yeah.
Obviously, that plan was not voted in favor of. But I'm telling you, I don't know if it's worth. I've heard people say that so many times. I think Jedrick was in the conversation. It was not Becton, and they knew they couldn't get the one that went to the Giants. But my point is, you need some backup plan for left tackle.
How do you not go get him? I mean, especially if you're talking at the before, if it is four,
it's not four.
You still need corners though too. There's a lot.
How much cap space do they have?
13. Give it, give or take some.
That's exactly what Chris Greer loves to leave.
We're talking about a first round pick that might have not been utilized properly.
That doesn't want to, that his other, his initial team doesn't want to touch.
Maybe didn't utilize him properly. Some people, new settings make new players. But that, I think it's worth it, especially given your current circumstance. I think, he's worked with Tua. I just like this. Yeah. I like Miami for this because you need a competition at that position right now. I think you need to go into camp with the real competition. We got a former first round pick. We got a second round pick. Hey, who's going to work hard enough? Who's going to fight for this position?
But you've only got a certain allotment of money to spend. 13.5 is very good, especially when you've got all but one of your rookies signed. Actually, that's the number's going to go down because Jonah's going to count against their top 51 contract.
They'll get more room when Ramsey's traded too.
Oh yeah, they'll get more room when Ramsey's traded.
Here's a question: how much are you paying for a guy to come in as a backup? He's not coming in ahead of Patrick Paul, who's missed 21 games the past 2 years. And here we go again with the injury-prone players. And then he's predicting he gets into the lineup, he gets hurt.
But this, that's the point. If you're going to get one injury-prone player, might as well get two. I mean, if you win one go down, thank God we got another one.
I like the way he's thinking.
I mean, come on. We're going to keep on getting 50%. So let's get two.
I'm down with Isaiah Wynn still coming back. I don't see why that hasn't happened yet either. I mean, we're going to be signing break in case of emergency guys to fill the roster in October and November. Why are we not signing them now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to be signing guys right before training camp starts. Why are we not signing them now?
I don't really like that move though.
Which move, Isaiah?
Yeah, it's like
if you're going to put you a place where you can understand it. Do you want Liam Eichenberg to be your sixth man on the field? Please, to be your,
I'll shut up.
Accepted Omar.
I keep forgetting about it.
Do you want Liam Eichenberg to be your starter?
Man, you know what? I ain't gonna let y'all hate on Liam Eichenberg no more, man.
All right,
this might be his breakout year. This might be his breakout year.
I defend Jesse Davis. I want that to be your job. Unfair shake because he was playing left tackle with a broken what was it, an elbow? Was it poop?
Oh my god.
Hey,
the whole year, he was hurt the whole year,
playing out of position, and y'all just beat that man to death.
Jesse Davis was the Tua haters' best friend, boy. I'm telling you, they were like, hey, dog, keep Jesse Davis. But listen, don't ever mention him in Miami. Okay, no, ever. That is cursing.
Y'all not gonna put that on Jesse Davis.
Jesse Davis, right now?
Go down in history as one of the best waiver wire claims in Dolphins history. Challenge you, Poupard.
Didn't they give him a contract like after his first year too?
Oh damn! All right,
Poupard is killing you.
Okay, I will correct my statement. Jesse Davis will be on the Mount Rushmore of Dolphins waiver wire players. I challenge you, Poupar.
Next show, I'll come up with that. I can't do it off the top of my head. Come on.
Yeah, you're slipping, old man. You're slipping.
Oh, man. Let's get to these donations. Gary with the tenor says, this is definitely the best Dolphin podcast. I appreciate all four of you guys. Always excellent. Go, Fins. Yes. There we go. Where else are you going to get the four of us just heated debates and then at the end of it, just laughing it off? NFL refs fan with the $2 donation. Are Eichenberg and Zach Wilson the best NFL duo?
Omar, that's for you.
Listen, I'm not going to throw stones at Zach Wilson until I see him actually practice. He's better than Josh Rosen when you traded a second round pick for him. Like, he had done better than Josh Rosen throughout his career. Yeah, man, Josh Rosen was trash.
Zach Wilson's stats aren't trash either. Come on,
Zach Wilson's trash too. The stats are trash. But I like to see, I want to, before I, if he sucks when I see him, I'll let you know.
I still need to get that clip from that episode where you're like, Josh Rosen sucked. Oh man, birthday salami with the $10 donation says injuries are critical when your team is so top heavy. Yes, 100%. Injuries aren't the problem, it's the depth, which comes down to poor roster construction and drafting.
I agree every word. And if you drafted better, you wouldn't have poor roster construction.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have to sign an inside linebacker because Channing Tindall would actually be a starter by now if you drafted well.
It's so messed up that like a good portion of our like best players that we're like, oh, that player was so good for us, were claimed. Sealer and then Cameron Wake. We got him from Canada there. It's just like
that's good talent evaluation, though. I look at that from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. The fact that they can develop undrafted players into contributors like Nick Needham, you don't suck at your job. You just, not very good at
it. Some aspects.
Huh? Far, baby.
Sanch with the tenor says TD stole the negativity Nancy Ward from Poupard.
Hey, you know what? Why is it negative to be right?
Because you're not necessarily right.
So I say that.
Necessarily?
I say it's inevitable.
Unit's going to get hurt. If you're wrong, then you're right. But go ahead.
I say it's inevitable a unit's going to be hurt. Oh, you negative and a unit get hurt. Oh, I'm negative Nancy. Like, we keep trying players that's coming fresh off injury. Like, the probability is higher.
I remember one year I did a statistical study on the Dolphins, and it showed that you're going to lose 8 starters to at least 8 games a year. And I was just like, damn. I got to look it up. No. 8 starters, you're going to miss them for at least 8 games.
Eight starters for 8 games each, total 64.
No, I think six starters for at least 8 games.
Oh, so you're already backing down.
No. Did I say 6 or did I say 8? I can't remember which one I said. Okay. The numbers threw me off. It's 6 starters for at least 8 games during a season.
Each
during a
season. By the way, TD, I'm positive that you're negative.
that's a negative.
Some of these. Noel B with the tenor. I don't want any part of this one. Testicle shock collars will be activated on any panel member engaging into a talk longer than 10 minutes. You've been warned.
Okay.
TD, I think TD's good with children, though. I think you're good, right? You got it all?
Carter! You should be asleep. No, I'm just talking to him like Flores did too.
Can't talk. We're not gonna do that.
I slay myself.
Birthday salami, another fiver. We can go out and get salami sandwiches. Also, injuries and depth may have an effect, but minimal in-game adjustments really doom this team. That's on head coach. I agree on that one a little bit. The one that really killed me.
You do got problems with game adjustments.
Yeah, and you guys, Alan and Omar can correct me if I'm wrong. When they had Huntley play against Tennessee, I was just watching it, and I'm like, how did McDaniel watch him practice throughout the week and said he's good to go? Like, why didn't they put Tim Boyle out there?
Tim Boyle sucks.
Oh, Tim Boyle.
He's bad?
No, Doug. So no.
Huntley was that much better than Boyle?
Yes.
Huntley, who, as Tyreek Hill put it, was raw dogging the offense.
Speaking of raw dogging,
that's a Tyreek.
Oh man,
he didn't know what he was doing. He was just out there just doing. He might have known 20 plays.
And didn't get a lot of help from his offensive teammates. So if we're going to be honest about it, and also if you look at the stats, the history of Mike McDaniel, I seem to recall. Not last year, but the years before, it may have been 2022 or 2023, but they would come out and that first drive of the second half. I mean, it was like
always
work.
Mm-hmm.
So, was it later on that they weren't adjusting?
Yeah, because I think it's like the touchdown percentage on that first drive after the half. That's why I always, every time I watch a game in 2023, I was like, kick the ball. You win the coin toss, kick the ball, because I knew we'd always at least get a field goal before the end of the half, and we'd always come out and score, and that's how we would go up. Yeah, I agree 100% with that one. Pug with the fiver says, I think this team is going to give everything this year because if they fail, they are gone. Omar and Doug, do you think TD looks like Coco Beware?
Who is Coco Beware?
Why am I not asked it? Why am I not part of this question? That's I know who he is, and Omar has no clue.
So, Alan, does TD look like Coco Beware?
Doug, do you know either?
I have no idea.
Unless I'm severely mistaken, he's a former long ago wrestler, pro wrestler. a little bit, actually. That's what made me laugh.
Coco.
Yeah.
Did you look him up, Doug? A little bit, right?
What the heck? Oh my god.
I don't look like no Coco, but we're
stomping. Bring it up. Oh my god. Bring it up, Doug. I just saw the picture. Bring it up.
He's gonna go back to his
wow. Wow.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No, that's Coco Beware.
That's Coco Beware.
That's Coco Beware. Hey. Find a picture without the blonde hair. When his hair is darker, he looks without the funny hair color. When his hair is dark, he had a bird.
Y'all funny.
Yes. Twins.
Those funny guys.
Sorry, TD. It's got to be done.
He's the one who brought it up.
Who brought that up again? What comment was that?
This one,
yeah, that ain't your cousin, TD. That ain't your cousin.
Hey, I ain't swole like that. I ain't swole like that.
You used to be.
Nah, this a lot of people say I look like what's his name? Crab legs, man.
Oh, Deshaun. No,
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see it.
Yeah.
Really? Like Jameis Winston's uncle.
Damn. Listen, I'm up now. I'm four. Hey, I'm 4 old.
James was an uncle who was a deacon in the church.
back to the topics, man. Y'all ain't gonna tell me.
Ohio John with the fivers. Will Phillips be 100% by the start of the season? What are his long-term prospects with the team if he can't get a full season in?
That's a great question.
I will remain silent.
He came from that Achilles.
Why are you remaining silent?
Because the last time I said anything about Jalen Phillips, he used it as motivation.
We need that.
Do you think he came back too early, though?
No.
I feel like he rushed. Was like a month or two before
he is a tremendous worker. Tremendous worker.
His injury had nothing to do with his Achilles. It had to do with the shot.
I disagree with you on that. One, he went back on the field after he got hurt, and then he tore it.
Yeah.
He felt it.
What I've learned throughout the years regarding injuries, one part of the body compensates for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember which knee and whatever. I don't remember the Achilles and the knee. The same leg. But you start doing, or one leg is compensating for the injured leg. If once you start, you got to get right. And TD was right in something that he said earlier in the show. It takes guys about a full year to get healthy, no matter what it is. It could be don't count on him. He's right on this. Don't count on them that year that they come back from the injury. Count on them the next year.
So you think they did it smart with Bradley Chubb, having him wait like pretty much a whole year, and now we're gonna get a hopefully healthy Bradley Chubb?
I think they were avoiding the injury guarantee that they had.
That's
even smarter. Part of it too. And they have a dilemma with Jalen Phillips because right now he's playing on the fifth year option at 13 mil.
So what do you get ahead of that? Do you offer him a team friendly?
No.
After two major injuries like that, you can't.
No.
I know. I'm just saying.
Now he's going to be another player where you're basically going to be exposing him to the market, and you either got to overpay now or expose him to the market and potentially lose him. Now, the fact that he's hometown kid, loves Miami, has a fiance, I believe. I hope I didn't make her propose before he did.
That's
going to help you, but Jalen Phillips is going to take the money like every other player should.
But here's the thing, though. If the Dolphins are comfortable with how he looks physically, like either in training camp or early in the season, that's when you get serious about an extension at that point. They're not going to do it before training camp or until at least they're comfortable that, okay.
Or he plays like Austin Jackson at his position and get a team-friendly deal.
Yeah, like if we go into like the bye at week 12 and he's already at like 10 sacks.
I'm not signing no deal after 10 sacks.
Yeah, but you think that he's going to want all that money after so many injuries?
Yeah, it's about what you're coming off of right now.
That second contract is the contract that takes care of your family for generations.
That's true. Karan with the fiver says, breaking news, Ross tried to sign the gorilla that would fight 100 men to replace Liam. Rule state, only humans can play football. Fins lose draft pick.
Points for creativity.
Gary with the fiver says, they say Grant is built like a 400-pound woman. Huh? How many snaps do y'all expect him to play?
400 pounds? Who said that? I hope it ain't me. Gary
Williams. Listen, he played a lot in college. Hey,
by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah,
he's big. He might have titties, but he's not built like a 400-pound
woman. No, he's not overly flabby.
Yeah, he's not overly flabby. Could he use a NFL offseason program? Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get one. Gary with the tenors. Hold on.
Let me say something. Yep. Not every defensive lineman and offensive lineman have abs. Like, some do, but most don't.
More than not, don't.
Christian Wilkins had abs. Okay.
Aaron Donald. Jesus.
Jonah might have abs. He looks very lean, not fat. But not every guy. And nose tackles, they have to be the biggest player on the field because they're consistently taking on two blockers.
Mm. Gary Powell with the tenor. Is there a worse coach in the league than Mike McDaniel on winning coaching challenges? I don't think so.
Who cares? He's not even in charge of deciding when coaching challenges.
And that's what I need to know. Why hasn't he made that adjustment? Like, why hasn't he been like, look, you're not good at telling me when to challenge. We're going to go with someone else.
Doug, maybe he has. He just doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
Because he's not, like 3 for 14.
Y'all do realize there's somebody in charge of telling
you. There's someone in the booth watching it saying,
throw the flag. Yeah.
We asked, by the way, we asked who it was, and it was like,
they're not giving that up.
No, correct.
The guy's in the back of the room eating a donut.
I actually know because Ruthie's married to the guy who was Brian Flores' challenge guy. And man, he used to beat himself up about his record. This is serious business. Like, this is their job.
It's a timeout and everything.
Yep. Yeah. Some of those challenges are so bad. Oh my God. Do you ever see Spaceballs? Yeah. You know, when the guy's on the radar machine, he looks over, he's all cross-eyed. That was the guy who's making challenge calls for us.
Oh my God.
Marcus with the tenor says Greer's not signing anyone over a certain amount and ruining the team's possible compensation pick for losing Holland.
That doesn't apply that those signings are done. So
yeah. Because when is it, like May?
The Monday something? After the draft.
Yeah.
The Monday after the draft, correct. Or if there are guys who were extended qualifying offers as unrestricted free agents, which is extraordinarily rare. And there were two players who got those this year, J.K. Dobbins, and the other one was, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's long gone. And then finally, the Foo family with the
20. Foo family. Yeah, I know they celebrities, right?
It's a big donation, man, $20.
The Foo Fighters?
Omar, sit back. Sit back, Omar. Sit back.
Love the show. Two questions. What would have Tua's contract look like if he played on the 5th? And Omar and Poop, does the Dolphins ever ask the beat writers not to ask certain questions during the press conference? Interesting. We'll hit these quick. First one, what would the contract look like if they had him play that 5th year?
Baker Mayfield. 30 a year.
That's not bad. Because
Who played a 5th year?
Tua. Yeah,
Tua. He wouldn't be here.
Yeah, he would.
No, he probably would. Mike ain't going
Ross likes Tua. Yeah. He would have been here.
I don't know if that's Ross. Let me.
Yeah.
Let me.
Ross was convinced to like him.
No, Ross wants to win. Mm-hmm. If you told him right now, Aaron Rodgers give you a better chance to win than Tua.
Let's do it.
And provide the evidence, he'd do it.
Okay.
Look, why were they flirting with Deshaun Watson? Because Ross don't care. He want to win.
Yeah.
And to answer the other question you have, mm-hmm. and I think Kupar would back this up, I don't think I've ever been told not to ask a particular question. Have you?
The only thing, it's not exactly like, not specifically don't ask a question. Sometimes, very, very infrequently, it'll be like, guys, this is what we're talking about today. Please keep your questions to this topic. Mm, that's happened, but as far as don't ask about that,
and I wouldn't, there's a certain couth you have to have. Did I use the word right, Pupark? Like, I'm not going to ask Tyreek about his divorce. Or, like, I really wanted to know, can I get a child count, like an official on the record? I did, and I've had private conversations with Tyreek, and I don't ask the child count question.
Wow.
Like, I want to know, but I don't ask it. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain things we're not going to ask you about. Like, I don't think there's a media member who has the cojones to ask Tyreek about his divorce.
Well, like, I don't see why it would be necessary, though.
Yeah, it's not
pertinent. That's my point. Yeah. It's not, because what people don't understand is we have to protect the relationship, especially mine. The relationship's already in.
Yeah.
And you have to protect the relationship. You know, these players are learning me. I'm learning them. Like, I saw Ashton Davis in a barbershop, and I mean, huge. And I'm trying to not have him look at me sideways. Mm. So, you know, it's like a relationship. You got to take it easy. You're not asking some softball questions, but.
No, but fans are very big on, like, why can't writers ask the tough questions? Because fans want, like, the gotcha questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a certain way to get the same answer to the same topic without necessarily being confrontational or being Howard Sternish about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not coming right out and just saying it. Yeah.
Like, I asked Ashton Davis, like, bro, you got better numbers than Javon Holland. Like, why the hell did nobody ever give you an opportunity to start in New York? Like, it you know, you can ask tough questions or what people want to know, but the like Pupart said, the whole gotcha questions, like, come on, man. Like, these people have to see you on a regular basis, and you want them turning up their faith with you?
Mm. Last one here.
There's an initial respect at play as well, too. It's like, you know, we're doing a job, they're doing a job. It's like, there's no need to, like, demean a player or a coach or a GM or, you know, be conscious about it.
So this is Doug. The hug all day.
The hug all day.
How many games is McDaniel allowed to lose before he's canned?
I got that bye week circle.
Is that without a win?
But how many by then?
I mean,
I don't know if I have a magic number, but I got that bye week circle.
Okay,
that's 11 games.
After 11 games, you'd say what? 4-7.
Mm-hmm.
11, yeah. 4? Nah, he got to have more than 4 wins in 11 games.
No. I'm saying
4 to be fired.
What 4 to be fired? Yeah.
I'd say 4, yeah.
I'd say 4.
He hits 2-6. Give Weaver. Say, Weaver, grab the playbook. You're going in.
Like, and that's such a difficult spot to be in if you're Weaver. And this is, we're going to talk to the assistants and coordinators tomorrow. And somehow I'm going to finesse the fact that, like, things go left around here. Everybody knows it's got to be you. Like, what kind of pressure? Like, does that make it awkward with you and Mike? Like, how do you do this? Where there are actually some players, and I don't want this clip, but there's some players who would rather have Weaver as a head coach. I think one of them's on his way out. Like, it's, you know. Like, that's got to be an uncomfortable spot to be in. But I don't think Mike is a hater, so Mike knows what's real, too.
Yeah. But that will be today's episode. You got Omar, my man, with a birthday from the Miami Herald. Go check him out. Alan Pupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. He also has his All Dolphin podcast, TD Fins Talk. Go check him out at TD Fins Talk. Also, you could find him at the AFC East Roundtable and Roundtable Sports. And you can find me at DougLeDoWrong.com and on not DougLeDoWrong YouTube. See, I got you guys down, and then I talk about myself. It goes right out the window. YouTube.com/DougLeDoWrong and on Twitter at DougLeDoWrong. We will see you guys on Thursday doing Q&As, but we out.
Doug, we didn't talk about Tua yet.